This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health and Living. I'm Mira Sivasodi. According to the Malaysia National Cancer Registry report 2012 to 2016, colorectal cancer is the most common cancer among men in Malaysia, and it's the second most common among women. For those diagnosed at the early stages, we all know prompt and proper treatment can help patients to do well. But after treatment, what happens? So on the line with me is consultant colorectal surgeon Dr. Raghu Ramasamy from Subang Jaya Medical Center, who's going to be discussing follow-up care to prevent and treat recurrence of colorectal cancer. Welcome to the show, Dr. Raghu. How are you today?
Hello. Hi. Thank you for inviting me. And I'm doing okay today.
Dr. Raghu, can you just go through the overview of the burden of colorectal cancer in Malaysia? Why is it the leading cancer amongst men in the country and the second most common cancer amongst women?
Yeah, this is a very true statement. Currently, it's the most common among male and second most common among females. And the overall incidence, about 21.3 cases per 100,000 population. The incidence is highest among Chinese, followed by the Malay and then the Indian. But this phenomenon whereby the colorectal cancer is high in Malaysia is not only specific to Malaysia, it's also globally. If you look at one of the statistics, the global burden of colorectal cancer is expected to increase by 60% to more than 2.2 million new cases and about 1 million deaths by 2030.
Do we know what would cause that increase? 60% globally is a big number, Dr. Raghu.
Yeah. Every time people talk about colorectal cancer, we always say it's westernization of the diet. But if you look at the risk factor for colorectal cancer, we always divide it into two. One is modifiable risk factor and non-modifiable risk factor. We cannot change who we are born to, like our parents, well, what is written in our genetics. But fortunately, the colorectal cancer is only about 5 to 10% genetics. Most of it occurs sporadic. That means it can just occur to anyone. And this is usually is associated with a modifiable risk factor, some things that we can do to modify this risk, like obesity. We take proud to be the most obese in Asia, but this is not good. And lack of physical activity. A lot of people living a sedentary lifestyle and not doing enough physical activity. And this is also a risk factor for colorectal cancer. How about unhealthy diet? There's a lot of people who are taking a high consumption of red meat and also high intake of processed meat and lack of fiber. And this is associated with the colorectal cancer. Diabetes is also associated with colorectal cancer. Smoking is associated with it, and alcohol consumption, whereby they take more than 30 grams per day, is also associated with colorectal cancer.
If I were to ask you which was the highest risk factor, what would it be?
All these contributes to the colorectal cancer. Not one specific risk is the highest for colorectal cancer.
And more than 70% of colorectal cancers seem to be detected in advanced stages, stage 3 and 4. Why are they being detected so late? I mean, generally, cancers in Malaysia are detected at very late stage. One is, I suppose, people, delaying, people in denial to a very large extent. Sometimes symptoms present much later. What's the case for colorectal cancer?
Yeah, I think you said it right. There are two factors. One, I would say, is a patient factor itself. We have been talking about colorectal cancer. We have been talking about screening. But many people fail to screen themselves. So this has led to these people coming to the stage 3 and then stage 4. And also, this tumor factor. Colorectal cancer is relatively asymptomatic in the early stages. Whenever I go to radio, I've been to TV, I always say, early symptoms are never early enough in colorectal cancer. So do not wait for the symptoms. It's better for the patient to screen themselves. And because they fail to do screening, they end up in a stage 3 or 4 of this colorectal cancer.
How do we screen?
Okay, screening, there are a few modalities of screening. One of the simplest way is doing immunohistochemical fecal occult blood test. That means patient can go to the hospital or nearest clinic and give their stool and check whether there is blood in their stool. It does not tell whether they have a colorectal cancer in their stool, but it does mean that they have some blood. Mm-hmm. And these patients should then go for a colonoscopy. But the other gold standard method of detection of colorectal cancer or screening colorectal cancer is still colonoscopy, because colonoscopy is where we do put a colonoscope through their anus and up to the beginning of the colon, the cecum. And this usually done under sedation or deep sedation. So these are the two methods that the colorectal screening can be done. But the patient, when we talk about colorectal screening, they get worried. They get worried. How do I go through this? Is it painful? Is it difficult? Colonoscopy is very standard nowadays. It's done in many centers and it's done under sedation. My patient usually wake up and say, "Have you finished? Have you done it yet, doctor?" So it's very safe also. Of course, there is a small risk of bleeding or perforation, but it's quite safe in a trained hand.
Okay. And when would you recommend someone do a fecal occult test versus a colonoscopy? And we always know that those at the age of 50 years old is probably the milestone when you really need to look at it. Why 50? Right. You know, why not younger?
Yeah. If you look at the Malaysian guideline that was released in 2017, it states that everybody should go and screen themselves at beginning at the age of 50, because the most of the incidents are occurred in the people who are 50 years and above. But if you look at the current American guideline, they have a big statement saying 45 is the new 50, whereby they have reduced the screening age to 45 because the incidence of colorectal cancer is significantly getting higher and higher among younger patients. So if you are 45 and above or you are 50 and above, it should go and get yourself screened in either method.
Okay, and this is probably because of lifestyle issues, as you mentioned earlier.
Yes. Both genetics and lifestyle contributes to the colorectal cancer.
You know, I cannot get over your statistic that 60%, there will be an increase of 60% globally as far as colorectal cancer is concerned. That is a frightening number, Dr. Raghu.
Yes. And this does not only frighten people, but it's also an economic burden to the country. If you look at the patients who are treated within stage 1 and patients who are treated at stage 4, there's about 40% to 50% increase in the cost of treating this patient. So we should be talking about screening again and again to the people so that somebody can go and get themselves screened and get this treated earlier. Because if you look at a colorectal cancer, if it's in a sporadic pattern, it from a small polyp to become a cancer or become a large cancer, it takes up to 10 years. There is an ample of time for us to detect this. But we have missed all this time, and then the patient comes to us with a cancer inside there, which is stage 2 or 3, or even stage 4. This is very alarming.
And if it's in the polyp stage, you can just remove it before it turns malignant?
Yes, definitely. If it's a polyp, we can just, during the colonoscopy, that's the benefit of colonoscopy, because it's not only diagnostic, it's also therapeutic. If we detect a polyp, we can just remove it from the endoscopically itself.
And when you have a polyp, will it sort of show up, or will there be signs of it when you do a fecal occult test?
No, that's the thing about fecal occult blood test.
Because it needs to have blood in the stools, yeah.
Yeah, some polyp or tumor doesn't even bleed. That's when we miss if we do a fecal occult blood test. That's why colonoscopy is still the gold standard for detecting colorectal cancer.
Okay, so 45 years is now the new 50.
Yeah.
When it comes to
American standard.
Okay, yeah. would you recommend 45 as well, given our lifestyle and stuff, even here in Malaysia?
Yes, I would say it's no harm in starting at 45 years old. If you just want to wait for the 50, according to the guideline, go by all means. But 45, I think, is still a good age to start for colorectal cancer screening.
Okay. What happens when you already have been diagnosed with colon cancer and you have been treated and, you know, sometimes it recurs, right? Well, how do you manage it then?
Okay. When a patient has a recurrent colorectal cancer, we have to divide or we have to decide whether this is a potentially resectable disease or non-resectable disease. If it's a potentially resectable disease, potentially curable resection, then we go for a curable resection. Then we go by multimodality of treatment like chemotherapy, external beam radiotherapy, or intraoperative radiotherapy. Then if it's not resectable disease, then the patient is, whether we have to decide whether the patient is suitable or fit for intensive oncological treatment. Or now if the patient is not fit, the tumor is not resectable, then we have to think about palliative treatment.
Okay. And if most of colon cancer cases are in Malaysia are detected at third and fourth stage, then chances are in my mind is that there could be a recurrence. Now, before I say the word recurrence, there is also this word remission and cancer-free being used very loosely. What does that mean?
That means there are a time where a certain period of time, about a year, where the cancer is not detectable. That means you have done the surgery and then you have gone through the chemo radiotherapy and there is no cancer, and then the patient can have a recurrence. That's what it means.
Okay, so 1 year of being cancer-free and then you are considered in remission.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
That means you are cancer-free.
Yeah, cancer-free. Okay.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back and find out more about recurrence of colorectal cancer when that happens. What are some of your options? Is it all doom and gloom? All of that we will discuss up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. Dr. Raghu Ramasamy, a consultant general and colorectal surgeon from Subang Jaya Medical Center, in the studio with me. We are discussing colorectal cancer and what happens when it comes back after treatment. What does recurrence mean, Dr. Raghu? Why does a cancer recur?
When you talk about recurrence, it's that the tumor has gone away and now it's come back. When we're talking about the tumor itself, there's most of the time the recurrence is because of the tumor factor. There are some tumors which are very aggressive, and there are also certain factors associated with the tumor itself, like tumor lymph node metastasis, vascular perineural invasion, histology of the tumor itself, like signal ring cells, CAs, and mucin-producing carcinoma. These are mostly associated with a poorer prognosis. And if you look at the Malaysian statistics anyway, the most of the patients come with stage 3 and 4, mm-hmm. and the statement goes, the more the advanced the tumour is, the higher chances of the tumour recurring.
And does recurrence occur at the same site or does it happen in other organs?
Okay. We have two types of recurrences. That means it's a local recurrence or recurrence somewhere else outside the local area. Local area means where we resected the tumour and we anastomosed the tumour. Or it can come back in the liver and the lung, or any other places intra-abdominally.
And liver and the lung seems to be the most common for colorectal cancer when it recurs.
Yes, because this is the places where it spreads to, and it also is the place where it comes back at.
So if most of our patients are stage 3 and 4, then as you said, recurrence is going to be higher. How do you manage that?
Okay, like I said, these involve a multimodality of treatment. We involve the surgeon, we have to involve the oncologist, we have to involve the nutritionist, and together radio team, and we have to together sit together and we decide, like I said before, whether this is resectable or potentially curable resection can be done. If can, then we operate on this patient and then we give this patient oncological treatment. And if it's not resectable, then go back again, whether it's suitable or fit for oncological treatment, because you can't do surgery anyway on this patient. Mm-hmm. If they are fit or they are suitable for this oncological treatment, then they will go through this. Or if they are not fit for anything, they are too frail, you know, these patients will just go back to palliative treatment.
Why would surgery not be possible for some people?
Because certain people, the recurrence are detected late, or the recurrences are in a places where it's not easily can be resected, and sometimes it's even more potentially dangerous for this patient. And in certain patients, when recurrence happens, the patient in themselves is not fit. and it is not we will decide this patient is not suitable for the surgery itself.
Have there been advancements in surgery from the time you've actually ventured into this field?
Yeah, there are many types of surgery nowadays that can be done. The advances in the operating instruments, and even nowadays we have robots for the pelvic floor or the pelvic surgeries. So there are many advances in terms of surgical management of this patient. But again, the it depends. We look at the whole picture, not just the tumor itself. We have to look at the patient themselves and the tumor. And then we decide whether the patient is now fit for the resection of recurrent tumor.
So for a colorectal cancer patient, can he or she do anything to reduce their risks of recurrence after going into, after being cancer-free, for an example? I mean, to prevent the recurrence?
Yeah. Once a patient of colorectal patient has been operated, of they have gone through the treatment, now they will fall into surveillance. And this patient will go through surveillance at least for 5 years duration. Every 3 to 6 months, this patient will come to us and we take a history on this patient. We do a physical examination on this patient. And we also take a blood level of carcinoembryogenic antigen. And we monitor this patient every 3 to 6 months. And we also do a surveillance colonoscopy for this patient to make sure this patient does not have a recurrence, at least about in the first year and then every 3 to 5 yearly after that. And we also have these patients followed up with a CT, thorax, abdomen, and pelvis. Generally, these patients are also advised to stay healthy, fit, thereby they go through physical activity, a high intake of fibers, drink a lot of waters, and so they try to stay healthy. So to reduce their chances of getting a colorectal cancer again.
Research is suggesting that people who get regular physical activity after treatment have a lower risk of colorectal cancer recurrence and a lower risk of dying from colorectal cancer. Would you agree?
Yes, I would say there is no direct correlation of this, but patients themselves who actively exercise and stay not being obese, these patients are associated with lower chances of getting colorectal cancer, and also once they have been treated from colorectal cancer, they have higher chances of staying healthy for a long time.
Okay, so regular physical activity is absolutely key.
Yes, yes.
It's even now.
An important factor in anyone.
Yes, absolutely. And the symptoms for recurrent colorectal cancer, would we know what that is?
Okay, the recurrent colorectal cancer symptoms are something similar to the original cancer or the first cancer that occurred to this patient, whereby they normally present with altered bowel habit, whereby sometimes they have diarrhea, sometimes they have constipation, or patients have perirectal bleeding, they have anal pain. These patients also can present late. If they have not been going through a surveillance properly, they can even present late with anastomotic recurrence and obstruction, and they can cause abdominal distension, vomiting, and so on.
And how do you detect recurrent disease, and how often do patients need to undergo these tests? As you mentioned, you do colonoscopy, you do imaging, you do tumor markers. Do you do that?
Yes, yes, we do tumor markers. Tumor markers are done every 3 to 6 monthly for the first 5 years. Usually in the first 2 years, we do tumor markers every 3 months when the patient follow up. And after 2 years, every 6 monthly, tumor markers like carcinoembryogenic antigen, CEA as we call it.
How accurate are tumor markers, Dr. Raghu? Because there are lots of false positives as well. How do you manage that?
Yeah, this is an important question because a lot of people go to the mall and they just get a tumor marker done and they think, oh, I don't have a colorectal cancer because my tumor marker is low. If you look at the guideline, there's none of the guideline has adopted this tumor marker, especially the CEA, in their screening method. It is not part of the screening. Tumor markers like CEA is only used after surgery, and it's always to detect recurrences. It's never used in surveillance for screening purposes.
Okay, so these are different tumor markers that we're talking about.
Yes.
When you have recurrence, so are you saying tumor markers, as you said, tumor markers as a screening tool before is not really the most accurate?
Yes. It has not been adopted as a guideline for any kind of screening for colorectal cancer.
Okay. When you are assessing the treatment options for recurrent cancer, how do you, for patients especially who have undergone a colostomy or ileostomy, how do you manage the recurrent cancer for them? And maybe you just want to go through what a colostomy and an ileostomy is.
But patients who have colostomy, ileostomy, there is a separate management for this patient because a colostomy or ileostomy is, if you want to understand it further, is that the bowel is outside and they have a bag. And the bag is being changed every time the stool comes out. But if you ask me about the management of the cancer itself or recurrent cancer, it's the same. Whether they have a stoma or they don't have a stoma, it's the same. And most of the time when we operate on this recurrent cancer, we leave the stoma in the same place. We never take it out.
But does that necessarily mean they still need a stoma?
Yes. They need the stoma there.
Why is it?
All the time. We have left the stoma there for a purpose.
Yep.
And now, if we are going to resect this patient and we are doing anastomosis again, we either protect this patient's anastomosis by having the stoma there, or have we decided the stoma to be permanent. If this stoma is going to be permanent, we are not going to do anything about the stoma. It's going to be permanently there.
When does one need do a colostomy or an ileostomy compared to one who doesn't?
Okay, usually a colostomy is when we talk about colostomy, it is a large bowel that's brought outside.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about ileostomy is a small bowel being brought outside. Usually, a colostomy is done in a place where a patient came in with an emergency situation nowadays. Patients has an obstructed tumor. We go and bring out a colostomy, right? And we sometimes resect the tumor at the same time, and we bring out a colostomy. But the ileostomy is most of the time is done for patients who we protect the anastomosis. When we go in, we do a resection of the tumor, especially mid to lower rectal tumors. When we resect these tumors, we bring out and we anastomose the tumor first, and we bring out ileostomy as a covering for this stoma, so covering for the anastomosis, so that even if the anastomotic leak happens, the effect on the patient is less. So these ileostomies are usually is temporary. A colostomy can be temporary, or it can also be a permanent colostomy.
Okay. And what sort of outcomes can we expect from recurrent cancer, colorectal cancer?
Recurrent disease following colorectal cancer, it occurs about 30 to 50% of the patient. Considering, if you consider both the local regional relapse and distant metastasis. The survival rate is significantly worse in patients who had early recurrence. If you look at the recurrence, we can divide it into two, early recurrences and compared to the late recurrences. And the early recurrences, patients who are have a chance at about 34.7%, the survival rate, compared to those who had a late recurrences, which is 78.8%. So it means if it occurs earlier, it's worse for the patient compared to the recurrences which occurs later.
Do we know why in some people it presents early?
Yeah, because it has to do with the tumor factor itself. Like I told before, some tumors are very aggressive. Some maybe some failure of the treatment itself, and the tumor recurred. And when they occur early, they're quite bad compared to the late recurrences.
When does the patient and the family start discussing palliative care?
Usually, palliative means when we have. Every surgery that's done is always for curative intent. That means when we talk about palliative care, it's already at the end of the road when we have no options for curative treatment. Now we focus on alleviating suffering and promoting quality of life. So this is when we talk palliative care to the patient.
Okay, and what has your experience been like? You know, being a doctor that, you know, is in the front line dealing with patients with colorectal cancer, knowing that most of them present in third and fourth stage, as you've said, recurrent, almost 30 to 40%, depending on on the tumour itself, whether it's aggressive or not. It can be a huge emotional toll on the patient, in fact, even the family members. So how do you deal with it as a doctor?
Usually it's very difficult because especially if the patient is a younger patient with a lot of dependent, and it becomes very emotional. So it's very difficult to deal with this alone. So it's best to involve the family and people from sometimes psychosocial support, whereby the NGOs, and spiritual support, whereby it's either their own, whatever their religion is. We bring this patient to talk about what are they going to do after this. So it's always, it not only affect the patient, it always affect the family. And when we talk about palliative care to this patient, when we start talking about, they always tell us, you know, doctor, can I go back and I want to settle some things for my family first. So it's always at the end of their, at the back of their minds, always about the family support.
And when you say younger patients, how young are you talking about?
Oh, I've cancer in the colon or rectum, I've seen as early as 20 plus.
Do we know why? I mean, it's not the usual age group that, you know, we're referring to.
Yeah, that's the thing. These patients also occur in a sporadic manner. That means that some patients who are young, but they didn't have any family history. That's why the American Cancer Society has reduced, Colorectal Society has reduced the screening age to 45. So it can occur in a younger patient. There is no one definite cause to say that this is why it occurred in this patient, but I think it's a collectively all the risk factors for this patient.
What would be your advice to the younger people?
Stay healthy, eat healthy, and try not to be obese, and try to reduce eating meat, especially red meat or processed meat, and take more fibers and drink a lot of waters. So in this way, we try to stay healthy and reduce our risk and from colorectal cancer, especially reduce alcohol intake and smoking.
You know, Dr. Raghu, what are some key questions patients should be asking you, which you feel, you know, is important for them to be clear about when it comes to colorectal cancer?
Patients always ask about screening. Patients say, I don't have any symptom. When I tell them, when you tell them that they have to go for colorectal screening, they always say, hi, doctor, I don't have any symptoms. Why should I check myself? This is what I like to emphasize, that do not wait for the symptoms. When the colorectal cancer is, symptoms are never early. When you have these symptoms, you're already in some stage of the disease rather than in the beginning period, whereby a small polyp or something like that that can be easily removed. So these are the things that I would like to emphasize to these patients.
Okay. Would you have a message for us on colorectal cancer?
Yeah, colorectal cancer is on an increasing trend, not only in Malaysia, but worldwide. So be aware about colorectal cancer and please take steps necessary to reduce your risk of colorectal cancers. And if you forget any words from what I've said today, please remember the word screening and please get yourself screened at any point in your life.
Thank you very much, Dr. Raghu. That was Dr. Raghu Ramasamy, Consultant General and Colorectal Surgeon from Subang Jaya Medical Center, speaking to us about what to do when colorectal cancer comes back on the bigger picture. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.